Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering, and today marks the beginning of phase two for Massachusetts as the state takes another step toward a new normal in the wake of this coronavirus pandemic. So what does that mean? What can open this week? What will that opening look like? Who will go? For more, we're joined by WBUR's Zeninjor Enwemeka. Zeninjor, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Hi, Tiziana.
So I know retail stores and restaurants are a couple of the industries that now have at least some green light. Can you give us an overview of what's open and some of the restrictions that they now have to follow?
Yeah, so all retail stores are allowed to open in the state today. So that would be like bookstores, clothing stores, jewelers, those types of shops that were previously deemed non-essential. There are, of course, some restrictions. Retail stores have to limit their capacity to 40% so people have enough space to distance themselves. There's also safety protocols, so extra cleaning and disinfecting that they have to do, also installing plexiglass shields at checkout. So shopping will certainly be different. For example, in clothing stores, dressing rooms won't be open. So that's something for shoppers to think about. And overall, the changes will be largely similar to what people already see at grocery stores.
So what didn't make the cut? What's got to wait till phase three or even phase four?
Yeah, so a lot of the arts and entertainment won't happen until phase three and in some cases phase four. So bars and museums aren't allowed to open yet until phase three. Also gyms and casinos are not allowed to reopen yet. And large venues and nightclubs are set to be allowed to reopen not until phase four for those ones.
On casinos, just to clarify, are the hotel parts open and not the gaming floors, or are they entirely closed?
Yeah, so lodging is allowed to reopen. So hotels, other lodging establishments, the casino part refers to the gaming portion. Yeah.
Got it. So what's the reaction been like across the business world? Do people approve of the way the governor's been handling this reopening? What are you hearing?
Well, many business owners certainly understand the public health concerns. In some ways, the public health concerns impact their customers, you know. So at the same time, of course, businesses have taken a huge hit. Bob Lutz, the president and CEO of the Massachusetts Restaurant Association, says the extended closures has definitely put some restaurants out of business for good.
My best intel tells us that about 3,600 restaurants will not reopen. That's out of 16,000 restaurants. That's a pretty significant number.
And it's also important to note that for some businesses that can reopen, there are a lot of logistics to consider whether it's even really feasible for them to reopen. John Hurst of the Retailers Association of Massachusetts says that for retailers who can now open, there are still financial decisions that have to be made about whether it's the right move.
The reality is there are going to be some costs of compliance, and that might factor in with some of these small businesses on whether they make that investment on day one. Some may choose to remain closed for a little longer.
Yeah, and I've already noticed that. I was just out doing some reporting in Cambridge, and I noticed there are many stores still closed, even though they are allowed to open now. And some of the stores that are open have actually cut back their hours significantly.
What are you hearing, if at all, about concerns about a second spike or wave of coronavirus infections as we continue to loosen restrictions?
Yeah, I think there is that concern, and that's something that, you know, many businesses are taking the safety precautions seriously because of those concerns. That concern may also be why some businesses aren't reopening, because they may not be able to comply with the safety requirements that the state has put forth.
So let's stay on that for a second. We have seen large sustained demonstrations over the past week or so here in Massachusetts, across the country, all in the wake of George Floyd's killing and out of frustration about police brutality. How are folks thinking about the juxtaposition there, that we're asking people to social distance, we have restrictions around the reopening, and at the same time, people have felt strongly that it's necessary to assemble to protest, where it can be very difficult to keep up that kind of social distancing?
Yeah, I mean, the protests are certainly something people are thinking about, including businesses. I spoke to one today who actually brought it up just in the context of, you know, waiting for customers to come back. That particular business hasn't really seen a lot of customers coming in yet. They've been getting some calls. So it's certainly something people are thinking about as we move into this next phase of reopening, which itself will be a process as we're in this much larger moment.
Okay, because the Ninja, I'm really glad you've decided to join us. If you will you stay there? Because I want to bring in another voice on the reopening.
Sure.
So thanks. So joining me now on the line, we actually have two people, Roy Avellaneda. He's president of the Chelsea City Council, also owner of a restaurant there. And joining us is also the Chelsea City Manager, Tom Ambrosino. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Roy, I want to start with you. We've talked to you before, also about your business. As a business owner, when we last checked in, you converted your restaurant to food distribution while it was closed. How is that going? What's the status there?
Well, the pop-up food pantry has been relocated out of the Pani Cafe, which was the coffee shop cafe that I helped start at and out of, and to their larger location because of the demand and need of that operation. But I still remain closed in the Cary Square area. And honestly, I don't plan on opening until September, despite the loosening of restrictions, because there's more to it on a business side, more factors in the decision than just the lifting of the restrictions. There's other things that
Yep. September in particular? What's kind of going on in your head about that decision?
Well, a lot of my business caters to school activity that goes on. In my corner over there, I have a nearby school, and I have also that area is a area where there's a bus stop for school buses. And so I depend on all of that traffic, and that is not occurring right now. Also across the street from my location is one of the major bus stops for the 111 bus. And we routinely are selling to people who are shuffling to work. And on every 15 minutes, you can count about 10 to 20 people waiting at that bus stop. And the business and the office, work in the city of Boston just hasn't come back yet. Chelsea's unemployment rate is still very high. And I feel that if I was to open up and put in the effort of spending money to separate, put up the plastic panels and such and have my employees there, that the numbers just don't work. It's hard enough It's hard enough to make it on a regular in a regular setting to put on additionally the restrictions and knowing that you're going to have a low account, customer count just makes it not really worth the effort.
Roy, before I turn to Tom, which I want to do in just a minute, what does that mean for you, for the employees of Pani Cafe financially? To be waiting until September?
Well, I'm in a different scenario with I own my own building. So I'm not depending on the rent portion that I have to face. I've talked to my employees, but they understand that in order for the business to survive and be able to pay them, we have to be profitable and it just doesn't work. So I hope that they will be back with us when we come back. And obviously there's unemployment going on, unemployment benefits going on, and hopefully I'll be able to get them if they're not already joining somewhere else. But it's a real decision. I hate to do it, but it's the realities of what's going on today and what small businesses like myself have to face.
Let's add Tom Ambrosino in here. Tom, you're the city manager for Chelsea. Does today, day one of phase two, does this feel like a big deal today?
I mean, I think people are going to be cautious here on both sides of the equation, both our business owners and our residents, in terms of getting back to normal business activity. I don't think Roy's situation is all that unique. I think there's going to be lots of business owners who worry that the activity around them that they depend upon for business isn't there yet. In Roy's situation, it's a school activity, and other situations in Boston or even here, it might be office activity that isn't quite back to normal yet. So I think there's going to be caution on the business side, and I think there's caution on the customer side as well. People in, a little nervous about getting back to normal, but hopefully over time, and especially if our numbers, our health numbers continue to be as good as they have been the last few weeks, I think people will start to feel a little more confident.
Chelsea was especially hard hit, in fact, probably arguably disproportionately hard hit here in the Commonwealth. Does this pacing feel right to you, and does it feel like the needs of your community have been taken into account?
You know, certainly Chelsea was disproportionately impacted, and even though the health numbers are substantially improved, certainly the economic impact is not, and that's going to linger for a long time. I think there is a need for cities like us to try to get back to some level of economic activity in order to get people back employed and to get our economy moving a little bit more. I think the governor's efforts have been thoughtful. No one's ever going to agree 100% with anyone's plan, but I think it has been a slow, cautious approach, and so far we haven't had any issues in Chelsea in terms of this reopening. There is concern of a second wave, an increase in cases. We're watching the numbers closely every day, and so we can be prepared to act quickly if that surfaces.
Roy, Tom, I'll ask you this together. Do you feel that the state has supported Chelsea adequately through all of this? Have you had the resources that you need, the technical support, the communication, et cetera?
You know, I feel the governor was extremely supportive for us over the past 2 months in terms of helping us with our food needs through the mobilization of the National Guard and helping us stand up that hotel in Revere that was incredibly beneficial to our residents in terms of putting some pressure on some of the local healthcare entities to step up testing. You know, but the needs were and are incredibly great here in Chelsea. So we are still in need of significant financial support, both on the government side and on the social side. These economic impacts in cities like Chelsea and the surrounding ones around us are going to linger probably for at least a year, if not more.
What would you add to that?
I would share Tom's agreement. I think that Chelsea was in a tough spot, and the governor was listening, and I don't think any other community received the assistance, particularly when you talk about the National Guard coming in. And so the governor was definitely attentive. At this point, I would like just to say that Tom and our state delegation did a great job in conveying our situation, and the governor reacted. So did a very good job.
So I want to ask you both, we know that COVID-19 has a disproportionate impact on the Latinx and Black communities. Chelsea is a majority Latinx community. What are Chelsea's needs with that in mind? And what are next steps and important decision-making that both you and Greater Boston and the Commonwealth need to keep in mind to help ensure the public health and safety of Chelsea?
Well, Tom, I'll jump in. I just think that this definitely put a spotlight on when we became the hot spot of some of the issues, why we became a hot spot, because of some of the lack in public transportation and some of the inequities that we face. And hopefully, now that they've been highlighted, that when in the future planning, whether we're talking with our partners in the MAPC, or we're talking with the MBTA or in our state, that these inequities are addressed. And hopefully that comes out of it.
Tom, go ahead.
I would just say that it's these underlying society's issues that led to this disproportionate impact in communities of color like Chelsea, like the Brocktons, like Lawrence, like Everett. It's, you know, it's crowded housing and an insufficient number of affordable housing units. It's crowded public transportation and not enough investment in transportation to ensure that people can get to work in more comfortable circumstances. So I think the state has to start looking at investing more in more affordable housing, more public transportation, whether that's going to be possible in this era where budgets are extremely tight and you're looking at massive deficits. I don't know. I think it just is more reason why we're going to need a federal government to step forward and help both state and local governments.
What are the two of you hearing from residents in Chelsea? You know, is there a blend of concern, hope, fear, relief? What are you hearing?
Well, I hear concern more than anything else. I think it's just a concern. Obviously, it's a long way to go before many of the families living in Chelsea, the working class, are even feeling close to being whole. We realize that we all are itching to get back to work, itching to have a semblance of a normal life again, or what we thought was a normal life. But at the same time, we realize that the health concern is still out there. The vaccine has not come out yet, and we don't expect it to come out for maybe another 6 months or so. And why we are desperate to try to get back to work, because no one wants to go to a food line. No one wants to have unemployment benefits. That's not what we're asking for. We want to earn our keep. But at the same time, we want to make sure that we're not putting ourselves and our family members at risk. So it's that sort of cautious balance that Tom is talking about, that as things open up and as we are being called back to work, the essential employees and such, that hopefully that this does not end up with a trip to the hospital.
Tom, obviously in the news media over the last week or two, attention has shifted substantially from a lot of emphasis on the coronavirus pandemic to heavy emphasis on the protests, concerns about police violence and brutality, what's happening at the federal, the state, and the local level. Have we kept enough of an eye on the virus at the same time? And how does one in a community balance between the needs to protest, the resonance of those protests, and the need to remain cautious about pandemic spread?
Yeah, I mean, that is a tough balance, but I think even those protesting are striking the right balance. Roy and I were both at the protests here in Chelsea yesterday that had a significant crowd, probably 500 plus. But amazingly, I didn't see one person without a mask on in that entire crowd. Now, the physical distancing was a little bit difficult in a crowd of that size, but I think most people, especially in this city, recognizing how virulent the contagion was, were paying close attention and making sure that they're still practicing good, safe habits. And I think that's going to be one thing that helps us in this effort moving forward, is that people are practicing safer habits, more hand washing, the mask, just being more careful. And I think that will bode well for us over the course of the summer as more and more businesses open up.
And Roy, just briefly, building on what Tom said, what other message would you have to the residents of Chelsea or to the larger Commonwealth?
Well, that we are inching towards hopefully back to a normalcy, but we have to keep our guard up and continue to wear a mask and follow the same guidelines that Tom was talking about and that our medical community is telling us, that we have to continue to wash our hands and be careful. And, you know, obviously, maintain our vulnerable community safe. They're going to be the last ones, and we have to maintain that and be careful when we visit them or we're entering our households. But I know it's gets very easy to be cavalier about those safeguards, but we have to maintain them in order to make sure that we don't get another spike. And as Tom mentioned, it seems that our daily numbers, both here and statewide, are in the downward trend, which is in a positive trend. Two negatives, I understand, but that's what that means. And we're hopefully that we're going to be continue to monitor that, and that these safeguards that we have put in place and asked our residents to abide by works.
That's Roy Avellaneda, president of the Chelsea City Council and owner of Pani Cafe. Roy, thanks so much for your time.
Appreciate it. Thank you for the opportunity to be on your show.
And Tom Ambrosino, Chelsea City Manager. Tom, I appreciate you as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
So still with us is WBUR Zeninger and Wemeka. Zeninger, thanks for sticking around. What's your reaction to what we just heard?
Yeah, so it's interesting. There's a couple things that stand out. One is certainly the challenges for businesses in reopening. That was something that Roy talked about, that, you know, in this reopening process, it's important to keep in mind that it's going to take time. So just because, you know, we have phase two start date today does not mean that everything will be reopening. There's certainly a lot of logistics and other factors that business owners have to think about. And also the concerns about the racial disparities that we've been seeing in this pandemic is clearly something that needs continued focus, particularly the underlying systemic issues.
So what are the biggest things that you're going to be watching for as we enter phase two?
I think it will be important to see how the reopening goes and to see how many businesses are actually able to reopen. In some cases, it may just be unfeasible for some businesses to comply with the restrictions. Again, there are other factors, inventory, cash flow, whether or not you rely on foot traffic or a particular type of customer that isn't really out and about right now, as mentioned earlier. So those are some of the things that I'll be keeping an eye on for phase two.
And Zeninger, before we go, I know this is a big question, but can you try to put this moment into context? It feels like we were in the grips of the pandemic. Now we're struggling with how and when to make this reopening happen. Meanwhile, we're still seeing protests take place across the state, across the country. How are you thinking about the intersection of these moments?
Yeah, that's a big question. And I think what has been interesting with this pandemic and what we're seeing with the protests and hearing about with the protests is this issue of inequality and equity. We're seeing disparities in this public health crisis disproportionately impacting Black and Latino communities. And that's what people are also calling attention to in terms of policing, racial disparities and inequality. So between these two things, there are really some fundamental underlying systemic issues that are very similar in both of these cases.
So one more question for you, Zeninger, and you may not be able to answer it because you don't have a crystal ball, but based on what you've seen so far, do you think we'll be able to stay on track and open phase three as has been planned? So far, it's gone, I think, probably smoother than some would have expected, getting through phase one and opening phase two.
That's a tough call. I think, if anything, this year, 2020, has shown us that we can't really predict what's going to happen. So many unexpected things have happened. Where we're at right now has been unpredictable. And so I think it's hard to say how things will go. We'll just have to wait and see.
All right. That is WBUR's Zeninger and Wemeka. I really appreciate you joining us today. Thanks.
You're welcome.